Happy Sabbath, church. Ooh. It's been a rough week, hasn't it? Let's try that one more time. Happy Sabbath, church. That's a little bit better. But I know that even though it may not seem going good, I know God is working and things will get better. I just want to say thank you to all the participants that did their part here today in our service. Thank you for our special music as well as our instrumentalists. They were playing a song that brought me back. It was one of my grandparents' favorite songs, and it is no secret what God can do. I feel like that's kind of just the theme that many of us have experienced with God, that there is no secret that God has the power to do great things in the lives of people. And if you ever doubt it, just know that it is no secret. God is capable of doing great things. The title of my sermon is actually inspired that something happened a couple weeks ago during camp meeting. I was in charge of, one of the few that was in charge of the teen tent down near the basketball court. So if you didn't see me, I promise you I was there. I didn't skip out. I was down down below. And we had this unspoken theme that eventually became just the overarching theme of the teen tent, which is actually the title of my sermon today, But God Has. And this came from just prior to camp meeting, we had the pastors come together in our meetings, and we'd share our different testimonies and sermons. And one guy spoke, and he was talking about how God has done things for him, even if the world was against him. And so we took that, and before we started our teen program, we would pray with our team, the pastors that were there, and those who were participating in music. We would pray, and then once we were done, we put our hands in, and we had one of our young people lead out in the chant, which was, "They didn't do anything for us, but God has." And then we'd cheer and we'd just go right into our service. And eventually the teens caught on and they would say it with us. And I wasn't sure if they understood what that meant, but we ran with it because that's what we have sometimes, right? We may not know what's ahead. We may not know what's going to happen, but God does, and He has done His thing. So if we can just quickly get it on the screen. The title, like I said, is God Has. And I believe that is a message that many of us have for ourselves as well. The text I want to share with all of you, and we've read it already, but we would read it again, is found in Hebrews 4, verse 16, and it says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." Let's quickly just bow our heads for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this beautiful Sabbath day. Though it may be gloomy outside and we might feel gloomy on the inside, one thing is for certain is that when you are in this place, everything works together for good. So God, as I'm about to just speak this message that you have spoken to me, that you have been trying to teach me for such a long time, I pray that though these may be my words, may it be words that retain to your children as your own. May the message that I'm about to speak be your message, O God, so that we can leave this place more filled with the Holy Spirit than ever. All this I ask, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I want to start off my sermon with a quick short story. It was a story I heard over the week that I thought was very interesting, and I thought that maybe the people would like to hear it. And it's a story about this woman who was a powerful prayer warrior. And I say powerful because you'll see later on in the story, but how it happened to be was that every day she took the example of Daniel and prayed in front of her window for whatever she desired. Whatever she needed, she would go to God in front of her window. And it was an everyday routine from morning till night. Every time she needed to pray, she would go in front of her window and pray out loud. It got to the point where her neighbors were getting annoyed. Well, some of them. Some of the other people enjoyed these prayers because as they were walking their dog or on their way to work, they would try to catch a glimpse of this blessing as they would leave. But there was one neighbor who particularly didn't enjoy her praying. And so he himself would try his best to do anything and everything he could to disrupt her prayer. But with the faithfulness of this woman, she kept going. One day, unfortunately, this lady, she was going through some tough times, and she didn't have enough money to pay for rent and have food. So she prayed, and she was, God, please give me the money to be able to feed my family. Please give me the money to be able to fill the cupboards with all sorts of foods that were able to just last even just this week. And as she's praying, she closed her window and she went on her day. Little did she know, someone was listening. The next day, she woke up the next morning and she found that her pantry was filled with food. All sorts of food that she didn't even think of but was provided for her. And so what do you think she did? She opened her window, got on her knees, and thanked the Lord. She's like, God, you did it. You did it. You did it. And as she's praying this prayer, her neighbor, the one that did not like her prayer, came out of the bushes and yelled, aha! Your God isn't real. And she's like, what do you mean? Because I went into the grocery store, I used my money to pay for these foods, and I snuck into your house and put all the food there. The lady smiled and immediately got back on her knees and said, God, you have done it, you have done it, you have done it. The man was even more angry now because he's like, didn't you hear what I just said? I placed the food in your pantry. I paid for it. The woman looked at him and smiled again and got on her knees once more and said, God, you have done it, you have done it, and you made the devil pay for it. And when I heard that story, I was laughing because it's true. This man, what he thought was something that would disrupt her faith, actually was increasing it for her. And that's powerful. That's powerful. I don't know for you, but for me, that's powerful because sometimes what we think is the world going against us, where the world is trying to take us out, God is actually using it to do something better for us. And so that title, God Has, is powerful. Not only that, there's a story in the Bible that I recently got studying again. I've heard this story before, and I'm sure many of you have heard this story before. But it's a story that actually was brought to my attention by one of our members. It's a story that actually precedes one of my favorite stories, where Jesus calms the water with his disciples. I know I've preached about it a little bit here and there. And that's one of my favorite stories because it talks about how even in the storm, when we feel like we're lost, God is with us in our boat. And we should not worry if the waters are pushing us through and fro. We shouldn't worry if the darkness is upon us. If Jesus is in our boat, nothing can be against us. But the story doesn't end there, and praise God that the story doesn't end there. I know for many of us, if it weren't for God continuously working in our story, our own personal story today, we wouldn't be here. And so praise God that God is not a God that ends, but continues on. And the story continues on in Luke 8, verse 26. And this is a story after Jesus has calmed the waters with his disciples and now has crossed over the Sea of Galilee into a new place. And it says here in Luke 8, verse 26, then they sailed to the country of the Gadarenes, which is opposite of Galilee. This is where they started. Now they're on the opposite side. And we stepped out onto the land. There they met a certain man from the city who had demons for a very long time. And he wore no clothes, nor did he live in the house, but in the tombs. The story continues on, verse 28, and it says, when he saw Jesus, he cried out, fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, what have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High? I beg you, do not torment me. Now, when I read this story years ago, I thought of it just a regular story that Jesus releases a man from the demons. But as I started to look at the story, something triggered my interest. It says here, the man saw Jesus. The man possessed with the demons saw Jesus. And notice what he says. What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? This man filled with demons recognized Jesus. And immediately once he recognized Jesus, he was in what? Fear of him. Why do you think he was in fear of him? It's because he knew the powers that Jesus had and was capable of doing. Let me pause there for a second. A couple weeks ago, I preached on this very stage about what faith looked like. And we talked about a chair, right? For those of you who remembered. We talked about a chair and how the chair, we don't think about it when someone asks us to sit on a chair. We grab the chair, we sit down. And many pastors would say, that is faith. You had faith in the chair. Because how did you know the chair was capable of holding your weight? Right? But I mentioned in a further study that it's actually, you don't have faith in the chair. You have faith in what you know about the chair. You know that the chair was made to be sat on. So you trusted that when you sit on it, it does its job. And here we see that the demon-possessed man, the demons themselves, recognized Jesus and they were in fear because they knew who he was and what he was capable of doing. How many of us here today know Jesus Christ, the Son of the Most High? How many of us know him? Because it's easy to read your Bible and know his story, but how many of us know him personally? This man didn't have to know Jesus personally, because he already knew that the opposite of what he was doing was in the presence of himself, which was Jesus Christ. But this is where the story takes an even more turn, and I love this part of the story. Jesus asks him, saying, what is your name? And he said, Legion. Because many demons had what? Entered him. And they begged him that he would not command them to go out into the abyss. So you see, the demons that possessed this man, they knew who he was. There was not just one demon. There was multiple demons that plagued this man. In fact, there were so many that the man himself was not welcome in his own city. Many of us here today might feel like we don't belong into the city of God because of all of the different demons that might be in us. Many of us might have struggles that we feel like we don't belong in the presence of God. But notice in this story, Jesus was walking towards this man for the man to be able to see him. I want you to keep that in mind. Jesus was walking in the way of this man to meet this man. Verse 32 continues. Now a herd of many swine was fled there on the mountains, and so they begged him that he would permit them to enter them, and he permitted them. And the demons went out into the man and entered the swine, and herd ran violently down, and so forth and so forth. I remember when I first read this story a couple of years ago, my mom was telling me, this is the reason why we don't eat pork. Because there's demons in the pork. And I remember I was like, okay, I don't think that's how it works, but sure. I was five, but okay. But because I was looking so much on that instance, I missed one thing until I recently read this part. And this is a powerful part. I want us to really retain this, okay? It says, so they begged him. The demons begged Jesus. They requested Jesus to allow them to enter these swine. And Jesus permitted them. I don't know if you're catching what I see here. But these demons, these ungodly demons, asked Jesus, requested Jesus, begged Jesus to allow them to do something. Enter a swine. And Jesus did what? Permitted them. Allowed them. If Jesus, the Son of the Most High, is able to answer the request of demons, how much more can God answer the request of His people? Oh, I'm going to say that one more time. If Jesus can answer the request of demons, how much more can He answer the request of the people He loves? Many of us here today might be struggling with something and we've been praying years and years. Some of us might be even praying only days after days. Maybe you just started praying today. And sometimes the answers that we're waiting for may not have come yet. But I want you to know, solely based on this story and many others in the Bible, that when God makes a promise, He fulfills it. The Bible says that even a sparrow is taken care of by God, how much more the people He created with His own hands. Many of us here might be struggling with something, and I'm encouraging you to pray. 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 I know when I was starting off and trying to figure out my relationship with God, the way I started wasn't just solely on Bible study and going to church. It was actually through prayer. And I shared this many times, but I was going through some dark times during my teenage years. And I had my mom tell me that in moments when you feel lost, seek God. Pray. Pray without ceasing. And she showed me this verse where it says, if you ask, you shall receive. If you knock, the door will be open unto you, and so forth and so forth, as many of us know. But I am telling you, when you seek, God will give you the answer. God answers prayer. I don't know why I love sharing this story, but this is a true testament of how God works in my life. 2021, my mom was diagnosed with breast cancer, and I remember very well how angry I was with God. I was angry at God so to the point where I was ready to let go of ministry. And not only let go of ministry, let go of God completely. Because I didn't understand why God was working in that manner. Why would He hurt people that love Him? Why would He take away the potential of more giving to someone who genuinely loved them? And I remember I was like, man, I can't be a pastor that talks about love of God if I can't love God myself. But one thing my mom kept encouraging me, even when she was going through her struggle, was keep on praying. Keep on praying. And I'm going to pass that on to all of you. Keep on praying. Even if it doesn't make sense right now, keep on praying. For what you have asked of God, God will give and give more. The story continues on. After the man is healed, and I encourage you to read the rest in your own time, but the story goes on after the man is healed that he presents them, the man goes into the people, and the people see the miracle that God had done, and their reaction wasn't praise. Their reaction wasn't joy. Their reaction was anger. Why? Because their way of living was taken away from them.
The story continues where once the demons were allowed to go into the swine fell off the cliff and into the abyss, it says, to die. And people were not joyful that the man was liberated. They were upset because their livestock was taken away. For many of us, as we encounter our walk with God, many people who may not understand our journey will try to take us away from being joyful in the presence of the Lord. And it's unfortunate because sometimes those same people were the people that were closest to you. It's unfortunate sometimes those people are the ones sitting next to you in a place of praise and worship. And I remember that was one of my earlier struggles in the faith, was when I decided to give my life to God in ministry, I had many people tell me, I don't know if that's a good thing. You see, before I met Christ, and I love sharing this story and always saying that this is BC, before Christ, that I lived a total opposite lifestyle. In fact, many people who knew me were shocked to see me all of a sudden preaching in front of a church. They were so used to me holding a microphone and doing something else rather than praising God. And so when I was starting in my ministry, I remember I had this one close friend of mine, actually, who was at CUC or Berman at the time, who was in their fourth year. And I surprised them because they were 3 years ahead of me. So it was my freshman year, and this was their fourth year. And I surprised them. I was like, look, I'm here. I'm going to do ministry. Actually, no, I didn't say that. I said, look, I'm here. And she's like, oh, what are you here for? And she goes, ministry. I go, ministry. And she looked at me. She's like, okay, stop lying. And I'm like, no, seriously. I found God, and I'm ready to just share my love for God to people. And she looked at me, and she literally said, I don't know if that's a good thing. And that went on for till the moment I graduated, really, where I had many people who I encountered who were more upset that I was getting into ministry because they thought I was just doing this for the attention, or what the young people say now is clout. I was doing this for their attention. But they didn't know that behind the scenes, God was working in ways that only me and Him understood. And if it wasn't for some mentors that I had would encourage me that keep walking with God, even if you are alone, keep walking with God. If it wasn't for those mentors, I promise you, I probably would have not lasted. And sometimes that's the case for many of us, where we've been in a relationship with God and He's taking us to a new season. And just because it looks different from someone else's experience, they look at you with really disdained eyes. They're like, I don't know if that's what God is really saying. I don't know if that's what God really wants you to do. Why do you want to leave this place? But I'm here to tell you, the Bible has countless stories of people who went against the grain by faith. And if they can do it, so can you. If they can walk, even if the world has gone against you, so can you. And I love this part of the story when everything was going crazy because everyone was angry at Jesus. Luke 38 continues and says, now the man from whom the demons had departed begged Jesus that he might be with him. I'm assuming it's because he saw that the people were not even joyous as he was. And he was like, I'd rather be on the good side than stay on the dark side. I'd rather be with the guy who saved me from all of these demons than to be with people who are unappreciative. I'd rather be with a loving father than to be with spoiled brats, is the best way I can say it. But this is what Jesus says. But Jesus sent him away, saying, return to your own house and tell what the great things God has done for you. And he went his way and proclaimed throughout the whole city what great things Jesus had done for him. Maybe in our walk with God, as God is transforming us, as God is healing us, he's purposely leaving us in the place of shame, place of disrespect, place of loneliness, place of uncertainty. Not because God is trying to punish you, but rather God is trying to use you to be the catalyst to someone else's blessing. Maybe your healing is meant to heal others. Maybe your blessing is meant to bless others. Maybe your trials and overcoming those trials are meant to help someone else overcome theirs. I believe in a God that is a God that is not selfish. A God that loves to give to his children, but also gives to those that don't proclaim to be his children. And sometimes those children that don't want to be his needs their friend to remind them that they belong to a heavenly Father. And so I want to share this to all of you that are listening, whether it be in person or online, that as you walk with God, as God is healing you, be open to being someone else's aid to be healed by God as well. In Mark, the story is retold. And many scholars say that it actually shows that there was a change in the city. A few chapters after the story is told in Mark, it says that Jesus returns. Jesus returns back to that city, and as soon as he comes in, he wasn't met with hostility, but rather praise, and people recognized him, that he was the one that healed. And because of that, they brought their sick, their lame, their blind, to be healed by Jesus, the same Jesus that they told to leave because they were upset that he got rid of their livestock. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? Maybe for someone here today, as you walk with God, you will encounter people that will put you down because of your faith. I want to encourage you, stay strong. Hold on to the promises that God has said. Because when God says a promise specifically to you, as his child, he will fulfill it. And who knows? Maybe those who persecute you will then become one of those next to you praising him. Who knows? Who knows? But I want us to know that as we walk into the valley of shadow of death, I encourage you not to fear because God is with you. His rod, his staff, they will comfort you. And I want that to be the message of this church as we move forward into a new school year, a new season of life, a new season of Calgary, which I'm sure is going to be sunny, hopefully, for later. But regardless, as we move forward, because the journey with God is not stuck, it's a movement. But as we move forward, to just trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And he will direct your path. This is my message.